Judges chapter 6. A sinner is only fit to serve God when he knows that all his strength is Christ alone. And the only way a sinner will look to Christ for all his strength is whenever God makes him to know that he has none. He's absolutely insufficient in wisdom and in power. He has no strength. Now that's what the Lord taught Gideon, and I pray that's what the Lord will teach us. Let's read this together. Verse 11, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat upon an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abzarite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee." We're going to see Gideon's wisdom wouldn't let him believe that. He needed new wisdom. And the Lord said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And we're going to see that Gideon was made to see he had no strength, no might in himself in that regard either. "And Gideon said unto him," now this is answering that first question, when the Lord said, "The Lord's with thee." This was Gideon's wisdom right here. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his mercies which are our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And that's our title. That's another question the Lord asked a sinner. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." That was Gideon's answer regarding his own strength, regarding him being a mighty man of valor. He said, "Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Now there's two things that hinder you and I who believe. This was a hindrance to us prior to God giving us faith, and it's a hindrance to those who now have faith. Number one, we tend to look to our vain, useless wisdom rather than Christ, our wisdom. And number two, we look to our vain lack of strength rather than to Christ, our strength. Christ alone is the wisdom and the power of God. And He's the wisdom and power of God for God's people. So, we don't have any might in wisdom. We need to be made to see Christ is our wisdom. And we don't have any might in strength and ability. We need to be made to see Christ is our strength and power. These two things. Now what we're going to see here tonight is only when the Lord purges us of all self-sufficiency will we trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all. We have to be purged of all our self-sufficiency in both wisdom and strength before we'll behold Christ is the power and wisdom of God, and before we'll believe Him, before we'll be used to serve Him. Now, first of all, we have to have our conscience purged from our vain wisdom to behold Christ is our wisdom, for Him to be made wisdom unto us. That's what we need. Now we see our ignorance here in Gideon's vain understanding. In verse 12, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Now, the angel of the Lord, again, anytime you see the angel of the Lord, it's capital L-O-R-D. It means the angel of Jehovah. And the angel of the Lord is Christ. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Christ the Lord. Now, he appeared here to Gideon. And he said to Gideon, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. This first statement he makes, we're going to see, has to do with Gideon's vain wisdom. He got to be corrected, turned from his vain wisdom. And the second statement he says is he calls him a mighty man of valor. And he's going to have to be made to see that that might's not in him. It's not in Gideon, it's in Christ. But right now we're dealing with wisdom. He says, now the Lord is with thee. Now, get the picture here, literally. Literally. And it's just this so literally with you and I who believe. But literally, the Lord stood there with him. The Lord stood there with Gideon. The Lord was right there, right then, with Gideon. And he said, the Lord is with thee. That meant going forward, the Lord is with thee. And it meant right here, right now, the Lord is with thee, Gideon. Now, we all hear this gospel going forth. This is the good news we hear going forth for believers. The Lord is with thee. The Lord's with thee. And that's what it declares. Now, is Christ our wisdom so that we believe the Lord is with us? Or do we look to our understanding of things and say, well, no, the Lord's not with me. Gideon looked to his own understanding, and that own understanding was not based on faith. That understanding was by his carnal sight. That's where our vain wisdom comes from. It's our carnal sight. And so this is what he answered. He couldn't believe the Lord was with him. This is what he answered, verse 13. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Where's the miracles? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, the Lord had allowed the Midianites to ravage the land of Israel. He really had. Hey, they came in like grasshoppers, the text said. And the children of Israel were hidden in the mountains and caves and in strongholds. They were just anywhere they could find a hiding place, that's where they were. And they were impoverished. They destroyed all their crops. They destroyed all their cattle. Israel was impoverished. That's why Gideon is behind this wine press, hiding, threshing a little bit of wheat and keeping that hidden from the Midianites. Because they were just ravished by the Midianites. So, by natural sight, leaning to his own understanding, he couldn't understand that Christ had come to him and Christ was standing there with him. He couldn't understand that. In his vain understanding, all he could do was deny the truth. The Lord said, I'm with you. And all he could say was, if the Lord's with us, why has all this happened to us? Lord said, I'm with you. He said, if the Lord's with us, where's the miracles? We've heard our fathers talk about them. Where are they? Lord said, I'm with you. But because he was looking with carnal eyes and leaning to his own understanding, all he could say is, no, the Lord's forsaken us. He's saying that to the Lord. Now, how many times have you heard sinners deny the gospel of God's covenant grace in Christ using the wars and the evil deeds done by sinners and all this evil? How many times have you heard them use those things to justify why they don't believe the sovereign grace of God? You've heard that. Well, if God was a covenant God and God of grace, why does he allow all this to happen? That's essentially what Gideon was saying. Well, everything the Lord did to the children of Israel, I want you to listen to this. If you ever thought anybody here, maybe somebody here that doesn't yet believe on the Lord. Have you ever thought, if God's sovereign and God operates under covenant grace and saves His people by grace, if He's with His people, why then is there so much of these wars and this pestilence and these evil things that happen in the world? Why are all these things going on? You know why the Lord allowed that to happen in Israel? Because they sinned against God, breaking the covenant of works. They were under a covenant of works, and they broke it. And God sent the enemy in there. In judgment. In judgment. Look back at verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites 7 years. You see, man sinned against God in the garden. That's why God turned us, pronounced a curse upon us. We sinned against God in the garden. We broke a covenant of works in the garden, and all men broke it in the garden. Israel broke a covenant of works and sinned against God, and that's why God did this. And sinners today, when you behold the judgment of God in this earth, bringing wars, one nation against another nation, all that's under God's sovereign hand. When you see Him permitting this evil to come to pass or that evil to come to pass, it's because sinners have sinned against God in Adam, and we've sinned against God willfully in our rebellion against Him. Rebels have broken God's covenant of works. And this is God's judgment, and it's just. God does nothing that's not just. It's just. It's just. But I'll tell you this, and this is the truth of the whole matter. What you see happening in this earth right now is nothing compared to what's to come. You know, the Scripture says for the believer, the Holy Spirit's the earnest. The Holy Spirit's a foretaste. We're getting a foretaste of what heaven and all heaven's glories will be. Well, the same is true for the rebel. When the rebel looks at this, the judgment God's pouring out on the earth, and you see the evil that men commit in the earth, and God permits it to happen, that's just a foretaste of what hell's going to be for the rebel. But it's going to be a lot worse, and it's going to be just. It will be just. So yes, God did bring all that to pass, but in the midst of Israel, in the midst of that nation, God had an elect people that He chose and that He put in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's why God didn't destroy the world when Adam sinned in the garden. He had an elect people that He put in Christ. That's why God didn't destroy Israel at that time. He had an elect people there. That's why God's not destroyed this world today. He has an elect people. And for that elect people, He's going to save them. Now, that elect people were chosen by God's free, sovereign grace. That means there wasn't anything in us, good or evil. Grace. Grace. God chose His people by grace. And He put His people in Christ, and Christ entered covenant and became the surety of His people. So God never looked to His people. He's always looked to Christ, our surety. And Christ is the righteousness of His people. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's always looked to Him and looked to that sacrifice and looked to that triumphant redemption He would accomplish for His people. And so God's always viewed His people in Christ, our righteousness. And therefore, because it's by grace, because Christ is our surety, that everlasting covenant will never change. It never changes. Yes, God had brought judgment on Israel. Yes, God had allowed this to go on for 7 years. Yes, a lot of things had happened. Gideon was suffering from it too. He was suffering the effects of this judgment. But God was going to save Gideon, and He was going to save all His elect in there and have mercy on them, because that grace towards them never changes. Even though it may appear like it has by the judgment that goes on in the world, it's never changed towards His people. The Lord is with thee, He says to His people. That's just what He said to Gideon. And that's so. Now, here's the sad thing. For believers, this is the sad thing. This is, you know, we tell our unbelieving children, these things about what's going on in the world, and you know, you're looking at things with carnal sight, and you're seeing things in a carnal way, but you need to understand these things in light of the Scriptures, in light of what God says, in light of God's covenant grace towards His people. Sadly, brethren, knowing this is so, knowing God's covenant never changes, how often are you and I frozen in our tracks from serving God because of what we see? Because it doesn't appear to our wisdom and our understanding like God's in this, or like the Lord's with us in this or that, looking by carnal sight. So we become frozen. We become frozen. But what we're going to see in Gideon is true of us. Our ignorance is just an opportunity for God to show us Christ is our wisdom. That's all our ignorance is. We don't understand providence a lot of times when we look at what God's doing. We don't understand it. We think, well, God's not with us. That's just an opportunity for God to show you and I once again, Christ is our wisdom. The way you think it is, that ain't how it is. So, in the first hour of grace, God has to purge our conscience. He has to turn us from our vain wisdom to Christ, make Christ our wisdom. And God has to keep doing this all our days to keep us looking to Christ our wisdom instead of to our vain wisdom. Gideon's might, first of all, it talks here about his might. Gideon's might, his strength, first of all, was the might of wisdom. The might of his wisdom was to not to look to his own understanding. There was no might there. You see what his might was. Sitting there right to the Lord saying, no. The Lord's not with us. The might of his wisdom was Christ. And he's going to show him that. Now look at this, verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Now look at the last part of that phrase. Have not I sent thee? The Lord looked upon him. Now, there's life in a look. There is salvation in a look to Christ. If you look to Christ, that means you're not doing anything. You're not trying to earn salvation. You're not trying to merit salvation. You're not looking anywhere but to Christ. There is salvation in a look. Those serpents were biting them in the wilderness, and Lord said, you make a brazen serpent and hold it up. Lord said, even so must the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up, that whosoever looks to him shall not perish but shall be saved. They looked to that serpent, that one lifted up, that very thing that had been biting them. They looked to that, and they lived. We look to Christ who has made sin for us, made the thing that was biting us and killing us. We look to Him and trust He's the satisfaction to God. And there's salvation in a look. But before you'll ever look to Christ, He's going to have to look to you. Before we'll ever look to Him, He's going to have to look to us in power. Gideon was looking upon the world. He was looking upon the troubles. He was looking upon his enemies. And that's where his wisdom was based on, what he saw. And the Lord looked upon Gideon, and he turned him from his ignorance and made him look upon the Lord, his wisdom. That's what this was just not him look. Remember what happened with Peter when Peter denied the Lord the third time and the cock crowed and the Lord looked at Peter? Peter went out, convicted in his heart. That was power in that look. There's power in this look right here. Gideon said, the Lord's forsaken us. And the Lord made Gideon look him in the face, and behold, the Lord's right here, right now. He hadn't forsaken you. Right here, right now. I picture Gideon back there behind his wine press. I picture him back there threshing his wheat. The Lord says, comes to him, standing there, says, the Lord's with thee. Gideon's looking out over the land. He's looking at all the crops that are destroyed. He's looking at how there's nobody in sight because everybody's hiding and the enemy's prevailed over them. And he's looking at that and he ain't even looked at the Lord. And he's saying, no, the Lord's forsaken us. And the Lord takes him and looks at him. and turns him to look the Lord right in the face. And the Lord says, I'm standing right here. I'm standing right here. I ain't left you. And the Lord said, the Lord makes Himself wisdom to us by speaking effectually into our heart. The Lord spoke here. That's when it says the Holy Spirit purges our conscience. We've got to have our conscience washed. We've got to be washed in the blood of Christ. We've got to be made to behold Christ, our wisdom. He's got to be made wisdom to us. So that all that we call wisdom is just turns to us into nothing but just blatant ignorance. So that we don't trust anybody but Christ. He's going to do that by speaking to you. I pray He speak to you now. I pray that He says this to somebody now. And here's our wisdom. He said, go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? He says, Gideon, here's the might of your wisdom right here. Here's where true wisdom is. I'm right here. I'm speaking to you, and I'm the one sending you. Now you know how it really is. Now you've got wisdom to understand how it really is. You get that? Christ made Himself wisdom to him, turned him from his ignorance. To those that are called, Scripture says, Christ is first made to us wisdom. He made power, too. We're going to see that in the second point. But He's first made wisdom to us. Our conscience has got to be purged from our vain thoughts and our vain way and our vain imagination, which is all our vain wisdom. And Christ has got to be made wisdom unto us. That's the only time we'll look to Him and trust Him, even though our carnal reason might say otherwise. Turn over to Proverbs 3. And while you're turning there, I want to read something to you. I came across this just before I came here tonight. Let me read this to you from Hebrews 11. It says, he'd been talking about all these things done through faith. And he says, and what can I say more? The time would fail me to tell you about Gideon. And he lists some other people, but he's talking about Gideon. And then he tells what these people did through faith. And one of the things he says is, through faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. Out of weakness. You see, out of that weakness of his wisdom, by Christ making himself wisdom to Gideon, Gideon was made strong in wisdom. And this was through faith, through trust in Christ. Now listen to what the Lord says to me and you. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Hold on to what you've heard in the gospel with everything you can. It's going to forsake you by this world coming in, by you looking at things with the carnal eye and looking at the enemy like Gideon was doing. That's how this mercy and truth is going to forsake you. Now watch this. Bind them about your neck. That means that's lock it around your neck. Look at this. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding. You'll find good understanding in the sight of God and man. When am I going to find good understanding in God's sight? When Christ is my wisdom. And I got it so bound around my neck and so written on my heart, I can't be turned, even though it looks like the Lord's forsaken me. I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to trust Him. Contrary to what it appears. Here's what He's saying. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You think Christ is not wise enough to direct our path? Sure He is. Sure He is. Lean to Him with all your understanding. All of it. All right, secondly, now let's hurry. When Christ has made our wisdom, that's when we're also made to know Christ is our power. He's our strength. Now, back in Judges 6, when Christ appeared to him, he first called Gideon mighty. Judges 6 in verse 12 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee." Now that, we saw Gideon's wisdom regarding that. It was foolish. Now the Lord made this statement too. He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And then the Lord told him he'd save Israel. He told Gideon was going to be a vessel used to save Israel. Look here, verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and he said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Now, Gideon now has some understanding. When Christ has made you wisdom, that's when you're going to have some understanding of your inability. And now Gideon's got some understanding of his inability. He sees now how foolish he was to think what he thought about Christ being with him. And so now he says this, verse 15, he said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." My family is poor in Manasseh. Manasseh, we're going to see this coming up. This was one of Joseph's sons born in Egypt. And Manasseh was a very small tribe and a very poor tribe among the tribes of Israel. It was poor. Small and poor. Well, he says, in that midst of that poor tribe, he says, "My family is the poorest family. My father's house in that tribe is the poorest house in the whole tribe. And look, and I'm the least in my father's house." Now that's poor. If you're in a poor tribe, and your father's family is the poorest in the tribe, and of all your father's children, you're the poorest of them. That puts you on the very bottom. You're the least of the least. When a man's brought there to see he's the least of the least, he's in a mighty good place to be. Mighty good place to be. Because when you and I have some strength, we think we got some strength to do anything, we're not going to get anything done. Not at all. You know, we have a tendency to look at things and say, "We can't do that. We can't do that. I mean, that's just beyond our power, any ability we have. There's no way we're going to be able to accomplish that." I wish we really believed that. Because if we did, well, we'd be in a good spot. Because it's not impossible with God. Look here. Christ was made to be the might of His power and His strength. Verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. And because that's the case, thou shalt smite the Midianites." All that big host of Midianites, all that people that the Scripture says they're like grasshoppers, there's so many of them. He said, "You're going to smite them just like they was just one man." Just like they were just one man. The Midianites were the enemies of the children of Israel. That's what they were. And they stand here as a picture of all our enemies, brethren. Of all our enemies. The law is holy and just and good. But because of our sin and our rebellion, the law was our enemy at one time. How did we satisfy the law? How did we honor the law? How did we magnify the law? What was our might and our strength to accomplish that insurmountable obstacle? Christ came and fulfilled it in every jot and tittle for His people. He's the righteousness of the law for His people. What about our sin nature? Our sin nature was an enemy. We couldn't conquer it. We still can't conquer it. We couldn't give ourselves spiritual life. We couldn't give ourselves faith and repentance. And we still can't do it. If we're left to ourselves and our strength, our vain wisdom and our vain strength is nothing. It's no match against our sinful flesh. Christ entered in, and Christ in you is the hope of glory, because it's by His strength that our old man is subdued. It's by His strength that we have faith to look to Him. It's by His strength we have faith to persevere in Him. Because whatever He started, He's going to finish it. What about all our enemies we face in daily life? What about the literal Midianites we got to face in this flesh and in this world? What about Satan? What about death? What about the grave? Just like the strength in all this other is Christ. Christ is our strength. He said, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He will finish this work of saving all His people, and He will not lose one. He will bring us to Himself. And the way it's going to be accomplished is Christ. He's the strength. You know what you and I have seen here? We've had some rich folks come through these doors. Some may have stayed, but most of them have gone. But you know what the Lord's used them to show us? The strength of this house is not the financial ability of any one house here. The strength of this house is Christ. He's the one sustaining it, and He's the one that'll keep it. That's what we learn. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's justified us. He's done all this for us. Who goes separate us from Him? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That just about covers all our enemies, don't it? As it's written, we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter, and left to ourselves, are we any more powerful than a sheep? What kind of defense does a sheep have? In themselves, they have none. But if they got a good shepherd, they're the safest animal there is. Because that shepherd's going to stand between them and the wolf. That shepherd's going to feed them. That shepherd's going to lead them in green pasture. That shepherd's going to bring them by the still water where it's nice and calm and quiet, and they can drink long. Still waters are deep waters. That's Christ our shepherd. And with Christ as our shepherd, we're protected. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors. It's His power and His wisdom. Now, Gideon wanted to know this was all by grace. I don't have time to go into it all now. I'll just sum it up to you. You can read it at your leisure. But Gideon wanted to know this was all by grace, because Gideon, like you and me, he knew something about himself now. He knew that, I've seen now what my wisdom is. I've seen what my strength is. He said, "Lord, I want some sign that shows me that I've found grace in Your sight." That's like you and me wanting that everlasting covenant. I want to know by an everlasting covenant this thing is sure and certain and all of grace, so that when I mess up, You're not going to change Your mind. How do I know that so? The Lord said to him, he said, He said, "Let me bring you a sacrifice." He said, "Go get it, bring it." Everything about that sacrifice pictured Christ. Everything about it. It was a kid. It was a lamb. It was flesh. Christ, the Son of God, was made flesh. It was with unleavened bread. Christ is the sinless Savior. It was brought, and when He brought it to Him, the Lord said, "Now put it on a rock." Christ is our rock. And He put it, and He put His staff to it, and when He did, fire consumed that sacrifice, and it went up to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Because Christ, the Lamb of God, went to Calvary for His people and laid down His life for His people, and He consumed the fire of God's justice for us. He consumed that fire. Now, through faith, both we and everything we do, all our feeble little service that's mixed with all kinds of sin, it all comes up to God, accepted in Christ Jesus our Lord, because He has satisfied justice and is the righteousness of God for us. And whenever He showed Him this, it's the same as Him making His covenant with you. When He's made Himself wisdom and power to you, He makes this everlasting covenant with you and says, "Because I've satisfied justice for you, this will never change. It'll never change." And the next thing says, Gideon found peace with God. And he calls the name of that place Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. He's my peace. He's my peace. Now, I want to end with asking you this question. No, I want to end with the Lord's question. Everybody here, whether you profess to believe Him or you don't, I want to ask you this. Can you say this? Can you answer this? The Lord said, "Have not I sent thee?" What do you say to that? Lord's not going to send anybody. He's not going to use anybody till He's emptied us of all self-sufficiency. Our wisdom has got to be emptied. And our strength has got to be empty. We got to be made to see we got no wisdom and no strength in ourselves. Christ has got to be all power, all wisdom, all righteousness, all sanctification, redemption. He's all to His people. Now, if you can say, Christ is my all, He is all. I have no sufficiency in myself whatsoever. If you can say that from a true heart, you can answer the Lord. Yes, Lord, You have sent me. And I'll trust in Your wisdom and I'll trust in Your strength. That alone. That alone. I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find an everlasting covenant of grace that'll never be altered and never be changed, but it's sure. And when you find out that it's all because of Christ, you'll find peace with God. Jehovah Shalom. You see, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Discouragement should be our greatest encouragement. Do you ever get discouraged? I get discouraged. I think sometimes, I won't tell you what I think. I don't want to discourage you. But discouragement ought to be our greatest encouragement. When I am so weak that I don't have any ability, I can't by my wisdom figure this thing out. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't understand it. But all I know is Christ is my wisdom and my strength. That's all I can say. When you're there, you're strong. When Christ is all your strength, you're strong. You're strong. That's when you can rejoice and you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we ever look at anything and we say, now we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. It won't be long, we're going to find out. No, you can't. But when you look at it and say, I can't do that. Christ can, but I can't. You're in a good place. That's a strong place to be. I pray the Lord bless it.